ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, July 29th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, how you doing, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. I pulled the double off this weekend. I never thought this was possible just even 4 or 5 years ago. I started my day at York 9, 3:30 start, watched York 9 win 6-2 over Halifax, yeah. HFX Wanderers. Then I got on the subway with James Grassi, and we had a nice little chat about development and Grazani and a whole bunch of fun stuff on the way down. It was, should have been a podcast unto itself. And went to BMO Field to watch TFC defeat FC Cincinnati 2-1. So that was my Saturday, Kevin. Long, but it was very doable. And anyone who says York 9 is too far away, Pioneer Village subway stop. It's right there. It's a two-minute walk. It's perfect.
Two-minute walk. It's not bad at all. Stad Saputo is more than 2 minute walk from the metro, and it's considered next to the metro. So, Montreal. So that's seems like a good Saturday. Two games in, two wins. Good thing for Toronto soccer, GTA soccer, if you want to include York 9 in there. What a game though. 6-2 versus Halifax. Gattis with a wonder goal, maybe candidate for goal of the year in that game too. York 9 is back on track, or at least they're on track now in the fall season. Big games in Major League Soccer going. I was at Stad Saputo Saturday, and it was quite a fun evening at Stad Saputo. The loudest I've heard this stadium in a while, and we'll get there later with the hashtag A Star Is Born. Lassi Lipalainen will be on the show today with his post-game comments later on when we go into the weekend review. But you know, Dwayne, what started this weekend? The Belgium Jupiler League has started, and there's a couple of Canadians involved in there. The European season as a whole has started soon. Premier League, 2 weeks away from the Premier League? League One is about to start. There's Coupe de France that started in France. There's all our favorite European league are about to start, if not starting last weekend, next weekend. So it's a good time to look at a few familiar faces that will be present in Europe this season and that we want to keep a closer eye on. Canadians and Americans alike, here's a few names: Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, Christian Pulisic, Kyle Larin. Those four names we will keep a closer tab on across the European season. But Dwayne, first of all, are you excited for this European season? It's a summer of nonstop soccer with the Gold Cup, the Copa America, the Women's World Cup, also the club MLS that doesn't start. So our summer is full of soccer. We barely have time to miss the European season, but it's upon us already.
Oh, I find a way to miss the European season. No.
that's true.
This past few weeks has been essentially the off season, really. I mean, MLS is still going, as we know, but in terms of the European sort of focus and the game that we cover year round, it's kind of a little bit of a lull that you have. But even then, I watched a couple of friendlies on the weekend. You know, I watched City play a J League team. I watched the Bayern Munich highlights anyway. Nice. I tried to find highlights of the Belgian performance of the weekend. Belgian League started full on. Like they played some games that mattered on the weekend. That was a very early start. Ligue 1, as you said, is getting going this week. And, the Community Shield week, 6 days away from the unofficial, the official start of the English season, although the big games are still 13 days away. But nonetheless, it should be a fun time that way. Tracking these Canadian players, I think that's something that is going to be interesting for us a little bit more than we're used to. I mean, there was a time, this seems almost as good. I got into the writing of Canadian soccer, doing Canadians Internationals, Canadians Abroad column back in the early 2000s. And back then, there were quite a few. It was kind of a good period of time for Canadian soccer at that point, and it dulled. It went down pretty bad pretty quick. So,
well, what was the names in that period? Was it the Hargrave period? Was it the Rob Friend Hargrave period, pretty much?
Yeah, Hargrave's was playing certainly, although he wasn't we weren't tracking him for obvious reasons at that point. Rob Friend, Paul Stolteri was doing big things in Germany.
Kevin
McKenna was a name that you would track a lot back then. Thomas Rosinski. I mean, there was a lot of guys that were playing at a decent level.
The Jason DeVos and Ipswich and company.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a fun time to do it then. Unfortunately, you know, our top end talent back then was decent, and it sort of pinnacled in that 2008 cycle, where sort of 2006, 2010, those cycles there, but they never could quite get it done. And I think a lot of that had to do with the depth, which we just didn't have, right? Some of those guys retired or whatever, and they didn't perform in the day, you were in trouble, and that's why Canada struggled in World Cup qualifying back then. But they did have a decent amount of players playing at decent levels in Europe, more than we've seen in a while, but it's kind of gotten back to that again, particularly with the three big guys that we're talking about this week. And I think Kyle Larm, we forgot about a lot, and we've been disappointed with his play and the fact that he kind of didn't get a real big look at the Besiktas, and now he's on loan in Belgium for a lower-level Belgian team. But he played the full 90 on the weekend. His club lost 2-0, and unfortunately it's hard to get hard stats, like advanced stats in Belgium, so I can't really tell you much beyond that.
Although you don't have Opta? The League 2 in Belgium doesn't have Opta? Come on, get on that, Opta.
It's League One. He's in League One in Belgium. But nonetheless, the A-League. But a bottom-level team. They barely avoided relegation last year, the club he's with. But that means he'll probably play, and that's what Kyle Larin needs at this point in his career. He has not scored in a while, and this is something that needs to get going. So that was a positive development there. Jonathan David is a player that we've talked a lot about in the offseason. He also played the full 90 in the weekend.
But his club. You made a mistake. It's 2019 CONCACAF Gold Cup Golden Boot, Jonathan David.
Fair enough. I apologize for that slight to Jonathan David. Exactly. He played the full 90. The club drew 1-1 in their opening match of the season. So it's a good start with the full 90 for two Canadians in the Belgian League, which is a league that we'll watch very closely. But the player, Kevin, you know, we'll talk about Pulisic in a bit, and any of our American listeners, if you want to suggest some other players that we should be tracking. We're not going to go through these week in, week out. We're not on a broad show, but just to have five or six names that we keep an eye on over the season is how we'll probably handle the European leagues beyond England for the most part. That's how, you know, realistically how we can.
Yeah, this is how we do. This is how we do it. We're not going to shy away from our love of the Premier League mixed with Major League Soccer. Yeah, there's 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, exactly. I can't watch 12 games from, you know,
well,
Syria.
I can, but that thing on my finger won't stay there if I do that. So there's that. And
Or your job.
Or my job. Like, yeah, if I don't come in, I don't get paid. So, Patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork always helps.
I'm sure that your other half would be willing to put up with it if you were paid a full-time salary to do it, but not otherwise. No, Alphonso Davies is the player that I want to talk most about today, though, Captain, because I have been following his preseason very closely, and I think a lot of Canadians, a lot of North Americans have taken an interest in Alphonso Davies, but they've kind of, you know, after the initial excitement of his debut over there in January after the sale, happened, I think a lot of people went, okay, well, now we're in for the grind, and he isn't necessarily playing a lot, so they've sort of stopped paying attention, and I think that that's kind of not a mistake, because you can do what you want with your time and your mental energy, but I think you might be pleasantly surprised with what Davies is doing. We haven't been hyping him up as much, but quietly he continues his progression. If you want to know exactly what he's doing, he's playing a great deal in the preseason for Byron, and he's playing at left back for the most part.
Well,
and there's an opportunity. Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to say, it was always in the plans for him to actually, like, this is his full launch with Bayern Munich. It was a soft launch in January. And Munich always, not always, but they often do this, and big clubs in Europe often do this with young prospects. You bring him in almost half a transfer season or a transfer season early, so he can acclimatize, get his apartment, get his routine, his training pad down, get his friends, make his new family in Munich, pretty much, and establish his life there. So when comes time for the full training camp this summer, he's been in Germany for 6 months already. And that is not I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's a very smart way to do things for Bayern when you have young players that do have a culture shock joining the team, like Alphonso Davies must have had. You go from Edmonton to Vancouver to Bavaria. So there's a little bit of differences. Languages, yeah. Food, lifestyle, amount of beers you drink. There's a lot of differences, but I think also getting used to his new position, having time to develop those new skills and the new mentality.
Yeah, precisely. Forgive me, there's a plane 3 feet above my head here. Even though I'm in a building, you can still probably hear it. I think notably, Alphonso Davies gave an interview in German last week too, and that's something that I think is important. It means that he's settling in. It means that he's committed to being there. But I think more impressively, again, has been his play at left back. If you go, you know, take with the grain of salt that you want, but if you go to places that fans talk, Reddit, just the internet in general, blogs and things like that.
Places where you should not go too often.
Well, yeah, Reddit has its value. You just have to know where to look.
Yeah, just don't look at the comments.
Yeah, don't go on the front page. Basically, that's the key to Reddit. Anyway, if you go there, they're quite happy with what they see. They, you know, everyone loves him, loves the personality that is Fonzie. But the player is a different thing. And I think there were some people last year that wondered a little bit. But when they watched him in this preseason, his athleticism and his dynamic play and his just willingness to learn has really impressed people. He has a real opportunity at left back. And I know a lot of Canadians want to see him play left wing. And I get that, and I share that value, but I look at an opportunity to get on the pitch in Bundesliga is more likely at left back this year. David Alba is the player in front of him. He is the starter.
And he's not going anywhere. He's going to be there for a few years.
27. Yeah. But nonetheless, he is also well known as being a great mentor to young players. It's something that Alba really appreciates and does himself. He's on record as saying that he loves working with Davies. I think that having the versatility of playing left back and left wing, wing back, left back, whatever you want to call it there, is something that's going to be valuable for Canada and for Davies moving forward. He was quoted himself in Bing, whatever the German place is. I always mix it up. Anyway, the famous German magazine there, the coach talked to me, and this is being translated, so forgive it if it's not exact, but this is what it comes out to as far as I could tell. The coach talked to me and said that he also sees me as a left back. I've played there before. I like it. So that is Alphonso Davies' words. He's obviously very eager to get on the pitch. And if left back is what it takes to get on the pitch at a club like Bayern Munich, I'm all for it. And I think that, you know, Alba's not going to play every game. And if he's the backup, and it seems like he is,
play more.
He's going to get time.
Yeah, it means he's going to get time either as left back or as left wing or left wing back. Who knows? And manager Kovac might be doing a great, great service to Canadian soccer by changing the position of Alphonso Davies and making him learn at a high level, one of the biggest leagues in the world, Bundesliga, how to play left back. Because, yeah, if there's one thing Canada needs, is a back line. And Alphonso Davies as your left back, first choice left back, with possibility of him overlapping with the left winger and him going into the last third and creating a big amount of chances. And now I'm starting to dream to have on one side Alphonso Davies and on the other side Zachary Brogiard, and having a very dangerous back line offensively. Yeah, that's starting to take shape. Now we just need two more center backs for Canada.
I think Daniel Henry, if he's teamed with someone that's stabilizing, can be very efficient back there. But yeah, you need some more depth for sure at the back. There's some young guys I know in the academy system or in the CPL that have looked pretty good, but for sure this is an issue for Canada moving forward. But more to the point, to back to this, I think that there is a real, even though we're not paying as close of attention to Alphonso Davies now that we were in January, I think there's a lot of promise to what we're seeing in the preseason for Bayern Munich. And, you know, if you have DAZN, you can go back and watch one of the games that he played, played the full 94. So you can get a little bit of a taste of this yourself. But yeah, good stuff, good sort of approach there. Kevin, I guess maybe with that, we'll move on to the one American that we're going to talk about today, and I'll let you give me your perspective on what you expect out of Pulisic in his move to Chelsea. He's the only significant add for Chelsea in the offseason because of the transfer ban.
So, yeah, the transfer ban. They're not allowed to do any transfers right now, so thank God they did transfers in January with Pulisic now coming to Chelsea this summer. And there's him, there's Mitchell Mount, the young academy product that's been Chelsea since he's been 7 years old, and now with a bigger role with the club, and Frank Lampard usually does play the kids. So manager Frank Lampard, super manager Frank Lampard, I guess is his new nickname. We'll see how it goes. But with Pulisic being the biggest name now in this club, at least the potential to be a big name in England, in London, Christian Pulisic, the American, has now some responsibility, a bit more on his shoulder than he did have with Dortmund last year. He was not on the outs. He did have a comeback in the season with Dortmund, but he was not the centerpiece of the attack in Dortmund this year. He was the years prior. So we'll see how that translate into Chelsea and being maybe a bit more surrounded offensively. But still, Hazard is a big piece moving to Madrid. The best kept secret in the entire world was Hazard moving to Madrid this summer. And it happened. Saw him in Montreal here for when Real Madrid was training. But for Chelsea, it is, as far as Pulisic will perform, as far as they can go. For Chelsea to win the league in 2019-2020, they need Pulisic to score 25 and have the rest of the team and the Giroud to back him up solidly. And that's maybe an overperformance. What I mean is, it's not likely. So for me, Pulisic, if he scores 15, it'll be a good season. It's a tough ask that they're asking him to perform this year with Chelsea, but we'll see how he responds to the challenge.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of our competitors, a lot of American shows over the week, because that's just what I do, probably about 10 to 12 a week. And there's a lot of talk about Pulisic on the American sites, and there's a lot of excitement about the possibility of him going to Chelsea and you know, sort of a new start after what was, you know, I think undoubtedly a disappointing season for him at Dortmund last year with Sancho overtaking him in the pecking order there. And I mean, once they sold him, it was always going to be that. Yeah. Like, what's the incentive for Dortmund to play him at that point?
Exactly.
They already got the money out of him.
They already got the money. Like, we already made the money out of you. So why not waste, but why use that playing time on you when we can use it to develop or to establish your replacement or the guy who took your job?
Yeah, exactly. And so he sort of didn't play a lot last year. I've heard, you know, a lot of speculation about what he'll do this year on both, like, on extreme ends. I've seen people that are really down on him because he didn't play a lot in the last year, and I think it's more fear coming out there. And I've seen also someone predict that he will be the young player of the year in the Premier League, I heard, which I think is ambitious, we'll call it. But nonetheless, yeah. I think the truth, as always, sometimes lies in the middle of these things. And you know, he's a decent player. And as you say, there's an advantage for him. There's a disadvantage for Chelsea, but an advantage for him in the sense that they cannot add anyone else until January. So he will get a look 100%. And Chelsea's in a weird season. I haven't fully worked my brain out in terms of where I'm going to pick the top six and whether that's a top seven or eight with Wolves and Everton sort of sneaking at the door there as well, or West Ham, even if you want to go down into nine. They're a hard team to peg. They lost Hazard, who was, as you say, the worst kept secret, of Griezmann to Barcelona was pretty poorly kept too.
that's true.
But nonetheless, yeah, that is a big ask to fill that. And that is the one disadvantage that Pulisic is sort of up against, right? Is that people, you know, just like, I'm going to do a TFC analogy here. It's like Terrence Boyd got unfairly wrapped into Sebastian Giovinco because of the timing. That might happen a bit here too. Although I think maybe fans might be a little more sophisticated than to directly compare a young American to, you know, one of the top 20 players in the world.
Yeah.
But you never know. So
top
nonetheless.
Five. Top five player.
It will be. He'll get a fair look. I don't know what. I don't know whether there's more or less pressure is what I'm getting at with this.
Yeah, there's more.
I think Chelsea is going to be in that battle for fourth. Is realistically where they're at. So he will need to perform. That is a significant and important positioning for them to get to. Are they competing for the title this year? Mm. Hard to see anyone catching up to Liverpool and City, but you never know if stuff happens.
It's hard to just see Liverpool replicate what they did last year. Sound like City, yes, but we'll see. And that's what's going to be in our agenda when the Premier League starts is to keep an eye on Pulisic and the other Canadians that we've talked about. So Alfonso Davies, J. Dave, also known as Jonathan David, and Kyle Larin. Two of them in Europe, three of them in Europe, two of them in Belgium, one in Germany. Let's move to games played last weekend. It is All-Star Week, Dwayne. It took 20 minutes for us on a Monday show to mention that it is the All-Star Week this week. Wednesday, you will have the All-Star Game live from Orlando. I'm actually more interested into the skills competition. If it's like FIFA things, it might be really fun to watch. If it's like the FIFA skills competition on your PlayStation or Xbox, this could be fun to watch. But it is the All-Star Game. Unless I travel to it, it doesn't really catch my attention because it doesn't really mean anything.
No, and especially the format that they're playing, which has gone a bit tired. I understood why they did it for years, and I actually supported the idea of bringing in a bigger European team, although in the past they've had teams like West Ham and Celtic involved, but it's nonetheless, Atletico Madrid certainly is a regular Champions League contending team right now who has added some player pieces and beat Real Madrid by scoring 7 goals the other day. So
Diego Costa with 4 goals and a red card. Such a Diego Costa game, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, it's football ramble today. Had some good ha-has about that. At any rate, I think it's kind of a dangerous opponent for the All-Stars because Diego Simeone doesn't have an off switch, so I don't know whether they'll take it easy on them.
Like, and Diego Costa might kill someone in that game. He'll feel like, okay, Joseph Martinez, who are you? No, you're not. I have the ball now, and you're gone. And yeah, I just punched you or something because that's Diego Costa.
I will take the same approach to this as I do most years and with the All-Star skills competitions, I do with the other skills competitions and the other North American sports, which I do fully admit that I will watch the NHL skills before I will watch the NHL All-Star games. I'll watch the slam dunk contest before I'll watch the NBA All-Star game. I'll watch the home run derby before I'll watch the Major League Baseball All-Star game. No one watches the Pro Bowl. So this is something that will obviously be a little bit more interesting to most people, but at the same time, ultimately, once you see it once, it's like, okay, well, that's that, and you move on. It's part of the North American mindset. Have your damn fun. Try not to get anyone hurt out there. I think in the future, I would be rather if the skill competition works well, then hell, go all in. Have have qualifying during games in the season to go for whatever the crossbar challenge or whatever the hell you're doing. Maybe instead of playing a game, have like 5-a-side tournaments with like the American players versus the Canadian players versus the European players versus the South American players versus the Mexican players or something like that, and like play it up like that and have like a little day of soccer, and it's not necessarily a 90-minute grind of the game against Atletico, but like against an angry Atleti where it wants to like prepare for its season, right? Like I think that would be more entertaining. Yeah. And that's ultimately what an All-Star game is supposed to be, is entertaining to casual fans.
Okay, yeah. And I'll take the day to think of my ideal All-Star format. And I'll talk about it tomorrow, because we're going to get closer on Wednesday. So tomorrow's going to be Tuesday. I do have a few ideas. I do have like a medley of the best things from certain All-Star games all put together. And I'm going to present that to the listeners, to you tomorrow on Soccer Today. But for now, let's just look at the games this weekend. I want to spend a few minutes on Montreal. They just beat the best team in the league in the Philadelphia Union. And no offense to Philly fans, I was asking a few colleagues at the stadium on Saturday if they believed in the Union, because there's a Corey Burke situation. Because, yes, they're top of the East, but they were top of the East, I don't want to say by default, because I don't want to take anything away from what Philly has done this year and from what Jim Curtin has done as a manager over the last few years, which is remarkable when you look at the resources spent on players and the result Jim Curtin has got from this team. But the consensus was, it's not that I don't believe in Philly, but New York is coming and Atlanta is coming and Philly is having a tough schedule in the next few weeks with DC, with LAFC, with Atlanta, I believe. So yeah, it's a tough schedule for Philly coming up, and with this loss, they could easily go on a 4-game losing streak if their next 3 games doesn't go the way they would like. So for Philly, I'm going to ask you the same thing. Do you believe in Philly as the best in the East?
No, I don't think they're the best in the East, but I do think they're a decent side. I mean, I picked them high up in the standings in the preseason. I thought they would build on the success of last year. They've got a nice little young base and young spine there that they can build off of. So I don't think it's fluke that they are on the top of the East, but I do think there is truth to the idea that part of the reason they're on the top of the East is because no one else has grabbed the East by the you-know-what. And that is, it's why 7 points
By the horns, right? You meant horns.
Eight to first.
Right? That's what you meant.
Yes, horns. Yeah, exactly, by the horns. But 7 points between eighth of the playoffs, CFC right now, and first. 7 points. Whoever grabs those horns first or most over the last 10 games or so is going to win the East and enter the playoffs on a roll. Just as a you know, sort of, I did a couple trackings yesterday just to sort of set up where things are in terms of form. And in terms of the last 10 games, I'll quickly go through it. New England has the best record in the East over the last 10 games with 22 points. NYCFC 20, Atlanta 16, and then 3 teams with 15, TFC, Red Bulls, and Philadelphia. Then to go down quickly there, you got Montreal, Orlando at 12, DC United on 11, Columbus at 8, and Chicago at 7, and Port Cincy at 6. But anyway, that tells you a little bit there. But do you believe in New England? Like, their form is that they are getting a coach bump from Bruce Arena.
Not just a coach bump. It's an owner bump, too, because now there's money. Like, oh, yeah, okay, I rubber craft. Okay, I got a coach now that's going to yell at me if I don't invest. So here you go, Bruce. Here's my wallet. Have fun.
Yeah.
So there's that. But the Montreal Impact did beat the number one team in the East on Saturday at Stade Saputo, 4-0, 2 goals for newcomer Lasse Lapalainen, and 2 goals for Orji Okwonkwo, 2 players on loan from Bologna. The Bologna file, or the Bologna relationship, has paid dividend on Saturday, and I think we're going to see more of this synergy because of the new position of Walter Sabatini as a technical director of the recruitment aspect of both clubs, and Marco Devaio working under him, and there's more of that structure that is being built. So the scouting and talent, I would say talent acquirement, recruitment from the now overarching entity over both those clubs might be beneficial for the Montreal Impact. But this big game, big debut, was the loudest I've heard Stade Saputo in a long time. 4 minutes in, and Lasse Lapalainen scored his first goal in Major League Soccer, Dwayne. And this kid looks like the real deal. He's 20 years old. He's tall. He's fast. He's got horns of steel. He called Nacho Piatti a Fiat in his first game. He's like, well, on that play, I was a Ferrari. He was a Fiat. I got the ball. The kid's got some ball, and he's got some good ball on his feet. But, Dwayne, let's take just 1 second and listen to Lasse Lapalainen about 3 minutes, not even, after his first game in Major League Soccer.
Lasse, today we need to say you played like a Ferrari, not a Fiat.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Did you, in your wildest dreams, think that this is how it would go tonight in your first game with so little practice?
Actually, I saw a dream scoring 1 goal, so not like in my dreams, but this is a dream now. Yeah.
Were you nervous? Were you nervous before the game?
Not really. A bit, of course, but I'm not really nervous before games.
Scoring early like you did.
Yeah, it helped. Yeah, for sure.
On the second goal, it looked like both you and Nacho were going for the ball. Did you take it away from him, or did he leave it to you?
Yeah, like he said, I was a Ferrari and he was a Fiat in that situation. So yeah.
You're 20 years old. Do you even shave yet?
Huh?
You shave? Yeah. You're only 20.
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, Lassi Lapalainen, a new star is born in Montreal on Saturday, Dwayne.
I don't know. Well, Montreal fans were just randomly texting me his name with no context in the middle of the game. I'll give that. I'm not kidding. A couple of them did. Like I was talking about TFC and they interjected to just text his name at him. Like, well, first off, guys, I'm not talking to you, but that's fine. I'm glad you're excited.
Like, first of all, who is this? Second of all, yes, I know. Lapalainen in his gut.
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with TFC versus Cincinnati, but anyway, there you go. Certainly an injection is something that, that Montreal badly needed. You talk about the Bologna connection. It's been there for a while. The results have been mixed. I think it is fair to say in terms of what they've gotten from it. If they can get a young player coming in, I see no problem with this. I talked about how I had that conversation with James Grassi off the top on the way down. One thing we were talking about is how clubs in North America don't use loans and arrangements and sort of partnerships in the way that they should, in the way that they can most effectively benefit themselves from. And we were talking about that within the context of the CAMPL, but it applies here as well. I mean, I know there are people that will sort of look down their nose at this idea that an MLS team should have a partnership with a team in a higher level. And because part of the people that look down their nose might not agree that Bologna is a higher level, but they'd be wrong.
But it is. Just look at the salary. Exactly. It is.
Yeah. So if you can effectively develop those partnerships, and yeah, this guy, if he comes and succeeds here, he's going to go back. Like, we get that. But that's reflects where MLS is and reflects what MLS should be doing at this point in its evolution, and Dwayne, it's a net benefit. If he plays a couple good seasons and earns his way back, then Montreal's gained from it, right?
There's a certain player that came to Toronto in the basketball world last year. We all knew he was not going to stay for long. He only stayed for a year, but won a championship. If a loanee comes into town, helps a team, wins a championship, and then goes back to Europe, he'll still be a legend. He'll still the trophy still counts. Like, the trophy doesn't leave, and it still counts, so it doesn't matter. I think we have sometimes a long-term skewed thinking that sometimes the short-term and what you can do for our team right now is more important than the player you will be in 4 years, because that doesn't matter. In 4 years, he might be playing with Real Madrid or something. But right now it's with the Montreal Impact, and whatever he brings on the pitch right now, it's still as valid as whatever else will come in the future.
Yeah, this is absolutely, you're bang on, this is absolutely that fetish of the draft pick, right, in other leagues, not in MLS, but to put it in a North American context, the North American fans, so it's relevant to MLS because these North American fans get obsessed over the futures, prospects, futures. You look at what the Blue Jays are doing right now in baseball, it drives me nuts. What's the fun of this? Yes, you got a bunch of names on paper that might be great in 5 years. What the hell is that doing for me right now?
It makes you pay attention during 5 years when they'll be terrible. So I guess that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you look at hockey, it's all about the draft pick, gathering draft picks up. Well, what's the fun in that? You're trying to win. That's why I love what the Raptors did this year. You know, I'm not just saying that as a Raptors fan who finally got my Nirvana, and maybe I'll never see it again in my life. Maybe not, right? But it's still that idea that, like, no, it's about this ad. It's about taking the assets and maximizing them for the best possible result in any given year. And to get back to MLS, this is an element of that. It's not a long-term play, but MLS should never be about the long-term play. You should either have older players that are there to solidify your base or to, you know, do things like the Stars do, or younger players you're trying to trundle through to get some more money and to keep that cycle going. That's where MLS is right now, and having an effective loan relationship with young, hungry players coming over from Bologna would be beneficial to the Impact, and some of them are going to be busts.
Yeah, absolutely. Or players on the other side of that mountain, right? You either buy them on their way up, or no, you buy them when they're down, while they're on the way up, but still a lot of ways to go. You sell them when they're almost at the top or on their way there for the most amount of money. Or you can loan in a player who's starting to decline and that his team right now is not necessarily playing him. And I think MLS teams have to be more interested to the 31, 32-year-old that his playing time is diminishing slowly and giving him an opportunity to have more playing time. I think those two caliber of player are what the future, at least the next couple of years, will be in Major League Soccer. We had the old DPs. Now it's starting to be younger DPs that are going to be sold for much money. and the Galaxy and Pavon, which the offer has been refused by Boca, but we'll see if it continues. Just an example of that too. But when we look at the Montreal Impact and Lassie Lapalainen and the return of Nacho Piatti, Okwonkwo playing well, and Zachary Broguillard earlier in the show, when you mentioned the partnership of Alba with Bundesliga Bayern Munich and how he helps develop a young Alphonso Davies at left back. For me, the same thing, if not even to a bigger scale, can be applied to Montreal. Bakary Sagna and Zachary Broguillard playing the same position, speaking the same language, the veteran, the young up-and-comer. There's a big, big partnership there where they help each other. And when you look at the growth of Zachary Broguillard since game number one, you look at the assist that he did on Lassie Lapalainen's goal, which was maybe the nicest assist all year for Montreal. Yeah, I do feel that partnership and that transition of knowledge between Bakary Sagna and Zachary Broguillard and ZBG is, for me, an amazing prospect. And if I'm the Montreal Impact, I really take the phone. I call Lyon and be like, okay, I'm buying him now. I don't care if it's $8 million, $5 million, $4 million, whatever the cost is, I'm buying him now because I'll sell him in 3 years. For maybe 20. He's that good. And right back with his confidence going forward, his skill set, yeah, they're few and far between, especially with the maple leaf next to his name. And he's Canadian. And I'm dreaming once again.
Fair enough. Yeah, real quickly, on just to end this sort of conversation on this loan thing and how it arranges, to bring it back to the Campiel game this year, and we'll talk a lot more about Campiel tomorrow on Two Saltudes, and the Saskatchewan Soccer Series is they're going to be our focus tomorrow for those that want to subscribe for $2 a month or more on our Patreon. So that's patreon.com/supportthepodcastingnetwork. But to get back to it, we watched Ryan Telfer play not to score two goals against Halifax, which was great, but also more impressively, and James and I, again, in our infamous subway right now, it's going to be something of legend by the time the show's over. We talked a lot about how amazingly interesting it was to watch how confident he was now in the post game. I saw Ryan Telfer interviewed like at the start of the year, and he was like, kind of answers, right? Terrible.
Yep. Yeah, typical League One Ontario PLSQ type answers. No offense, this happens when you first answer questions. It's a silly aspect of answering questions. Anyways, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, but in the post game, he was confident, he was full of bravado, and he was answering questions on behalf of the team as a leader. And I think that kind of thing is hard to quantify, but very important for the develop of players. And it's something that a lot of Canadian players have lacked in the past because they've never been put in that position. It's not like if Ryan Telfer's on TFC, no one's going to Ryan Telfer to go talk about what went wrong today, right? Or talk about what went right today. He's just going to be in the corner doing his thing. But at New York 90, he has to do that. So to get it back to an MLS perspective, that's where this benefits something like Bologna, or bringing a player, a younger player in, and having someone mentor them and help them along and help them gain that confidence, because that's every bit as important to their long-term game. There are lots of players out there that had the skills but lacked the ability to pivot to a professional environment. That is
the rest of the package.
Jump.
It's not just about what you can do on the pitch. It's about everything else too. It's about how you train, how you take what you do on the training pitch and apply it to games. And if you've played any type of sport in your life, you have seen both end of the spectrum, where you see players that don't practice and come out in games and perform like they practice more than everybody else just because of pure talent. And some people just, they need that whistle, and when the whistle goes and the game's on, just you perform better under the lights. It's like there's singers that perform better on live TV than they do in recording studios. And it's the same thing. And there's the other end of the spectrum too. You have that player who trains like double than everybody else. That's the first in training and the last one in training. And he goes into the gym every day and he wakes up at the early hours and he does all the right thing, eats all the right food. And then between the whistles, just nothing works. And he's lacking that something. So it's always a very fine line. And I'm just looking at ZBG to go back to him and seeing his growth and the growth in his confidence under Rémi Garde, but also under Bakary Sagna as a mentor. And I'm just astonished by how amazing he will be. And he was one of the best players on the pitch for Montreal on Saturday.
That's great to hear. And Montreal had a great weekend. Real quickly before we move to Vancouver and Toronto, just for Telfer, I want to say one more thing about him. He will absolutely be on TFC next year, and his game has gone tenfold up, and every other MLS team in Canada should be looking at that loan arrangement and trying to figure out how they can get more of their young players into the Canadian Premier League. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up the horns of the Canadian Premier League. That has been wonderful for his development, and I think that there's a great opportunity that's not necessarily being fully utilized by the three Canadian teams just yet in that league.
All right, let's talk quickly about Vancouver and Toronto, and you have the rest of the scores on your TV screen right now if you're listening to us on Twitter or video. But Vancouver had another tough game, but at least this time around, they got a point. 0-0 versus Minnesota on the road. Baby steps, doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop. Baby steps, doop-doop-doop-doop-doop. Someone tweeted that on Twitter, and it's been stuck in my head since Saturday.
There you go. Yeah, baby steps indeed. They avoided Wonderwall being sung at them, I guess. There's little things there. Look, there was a lot of bit of fortune in that game. You know, a couple crossbars. Minnesota probably deserved a little bit more out of the game, but nonetheless, Vancouver held on. And after the week they've had, they kind of did good for them, right? MDS, his post-game comments were directed towards schedule. He said, we're going to look hard at that. I don't know what he's going to look at. It's not like it's going to change, but I guess maybe he's going to look at hard how he trains around it and how he deals with it, because it's going to be the same moving forward.
You just said that, and I was like, okay, I'm looking at the schedule. Nope, still hasn't changed. Still hasn't become a bit more. nope, still the same. Yeah.
In the fairness to MDS, I mean, English is his third language, so... There is some still language gap there, but I mean, he speaks, you know, it's his third language. No one's criticizing him.
And yeah,
that,
and sometimes I don't mean to make fun of him at all. Like, he's a very smart guy, and I don't want to portray him in any other way. So I meant no offense, and I'm just like having fun on him.
Yeah, look, it's been a tough stretch for the Whitecaps, and it's been a tough year for the Whitecaps. It's been a tough couple years for the Whitecaps, really. They have Cincinnati next up, which is going to be a very interesting matchup in the sense that both of those teams are pretty bad. And
which could be a great thing.
Former Whitecaps.
Yeah, it could be a great thing to have this game against Cincinnati, or a terrible thing. Because if you lose to Cincinnati, yeah, guess what continues? The groan and the paper bag wearing fans will continue in Vancouver if you lose to Cincinnati. But if you win, it's like a no-win situation. It's a lose-lose situation. If you win, yeah, you just beat Cincinnati. So what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, look, I thought it was nostalgic for me. I listen to the post games in Vancouver. It's been nostalgic to me listening to them as of late, because it reminds me of like TFC in like 2009. It's like, the playoff hopes remain. I'm like, where? What playoff hope?
What hope?
Mathematically, yes.
Yeah. And we'll get there, because mathematically now, there are a few teams like the Impact and Vancouver only have 10 games left to play, which means a maximum of 30 points left that they can have this season. And when you look at how many points Vancouver has right now, yeah, it becomes a problem. But those are questions that we'll try to answer in the next week or so when we look at the standings and we see already the end of the season. We're more than two-thirds in the season for certain teams, and other teams are closer to half. Eventually, both are going to get closer to each other, and we'll get there. Toronto with a big win as well, 2-1 versus FC Cincinnati this weekend. But on this note, Dwayne, I think we're going to wrap it up for today, unless you had anything else you wanted to say for today.
I think I've made my point on Twitter with the TFC game. TFC had to win that game. They won that game. They need to bubble wrap Josie. They need better play from their keepers, both of them, plural. But breathe. 3 points is 3 points. They don't ask how. That's enough from that.
There's no like asterisk next to the amount of points saying yes. But out of those, whichever amount of points you had at the end of the season, 10 of them were awful games. No, they count the same. 3 points is 3 points. You either win by 4 goals and an emphatic win against best team in the East, or you win by 1 against the worst team in the East. It still counts as 3 points for both teams. And on that note, we'll say goodbye for today. Big day tomorrow for us. A two-show day like the two Solitude Soccer Podcasts and Soccer Today. Both will be recorded tomorrow, which is our are new Tuesdays here on SPN. So tomorrow around 11 a.m. we'll have Soccer Today Live, where Dwayne and I will talk about the beautiful game from a soccer perspective. And later on, we'll record the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast with a focus on the Saskatchewan Summer Series, looking at the games in last weekend in the Canadian Premier League, and looking at Canadian men's national team in the future with the new rankings from FIFA that came out 4 days ago. So we'll have an eye on all those topics for the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, which you can get access to for $2 a month at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to 4 shows or more a month exclusive. And on that note, until tomorrow, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Larmay. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.